This is Sustainable Long Island. With co-producer Tony Ernst, I'm Francesca Rhiannon. New York State's new climate law mandates a cut of at least 40% in greenhouse gases below 1990 levels. Buildings are the largest emitters of greenhouse gases in the state from heating and cooling. So to meet our climate goals, we have to reduce those emissions by at least 40% below 1990 levels by 2030, 7 years from now. That's according to the Renewable Heat Now campaign. The Renewable Heat Now Coalition has been organized by several groups, including the Alliance for a Green Economy, New Yorkers for Clean Power, Earth Justice, and the New York Public Interest Research Group. The groups have joined together to accelerate the adoption of ground source, or geothermal, and air source heat pumps to reduce the amount of fossil fuels used to heat and cool our homes and workplaces in New York State. I talked recently with Billy Ruberti of Huntington, an activist with the campaign. Here's our conversation. Billy Ruberti, welcome to Sustainable Long Island.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Francesca.
Well, I found out about you because I got very interested in the Renewable Heat Now campaign. In fact, I should let our listeners know I myself have joined it. First of all, tell us just the Cliff Notes version. What's the Renewable Heat campaign?
The Renewable Heat campaign is a campaign that comprises something like 18 different organizations throughout the state. It started with a few of them about 3 or 4 years ago. I joined about a year and a half ago, and I joined through Mothers Out Front. Mothers Out Front is a member of the campaign. And in the year I've been part of it, I have seen many more community organizations join, because it's like this parade that is just attracting lots of people, and it's very exciting. So what we're focused on is getting renewable heat out there into the state. We realize buildings are the single largest reason why we have high greenhouse gases. Buildings and the greenhouse gases they give off actually exceed that of transportation in New York State. So everyone in the climate and environmental community had been focused on getting our energy, our electricity green, which is very, very important. And that's only about 10 to 20% of our greenhouse gases. And there wasn't much focus on the building end of it, and people not thinking about how we heat our buildings and our homes. And that was a piece of the puzzle we couldn't ignore. So that's how we got involved in actually doing Renewable Heat Now. And of course, Mothers Out Front is very much focused on fossil fuels and the dangers of them and gas leaks and moving to renewable energy and, you know, getting ourselves off gas, but weaning ourselves off gas. No one wants gas to be cut off for anyone.
Well, we'll talk more about that. I'm going to ask you about gas. But before we go any further, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in the Renewable Heat campaign and what role you play in it.
Well, I guess it all started when I inherited some money, and my husband, who wasn't my husband at the time, we decided to redo our house. And we spent 2 years planning and wanting to make it as green as possible and as affordable as possible, because we figured we'd retire here and we wanted those expenses as low as possible. So we had a contractor, we gutted our house. And so that was considered by the town of Huntington to be new construction. So we had to, you know, abide by the latest codes. And we did this and we learned a lot. And as a result, I joined the town of Huntington's advisory committee on energy efficiency, renewables, and sustainability. And that got me into a lot more of this. And then through a tiny connection with that, I was introduced to Mothers Out Front. And then Mothers Out Front being a member of Renewable Heat Now and my own interest in geothermal heating, which is what we have, I was also a founding member of the New York Geothermal Energy Organization, which is about geothermal heat pumps. So all this was sort of coming together. So I'm the Mothers Out Front representative on Renewable Heat Now. We also have, again, the New York Geothermal Energy Organization as part of Renewable Heat Now. And so it's all sort of come together. Everything I focus on is about energy efficiency and reducing our greenhouse gases.
And so what are we talking about when we say renewable heat?
Okay, well, I think everyone's pretty familiar with gas and heating oil on Long Island. We had heating oil before we, you know, gutted the house, took out the boiler and everything else, and all our baseboard heating. But renewable means that, first of all, we're not drilling or digging for the resource. We're using, with geothermal, we're using the heat that's in the ground. So it's 55 degrees year round, or 57 on Long Island. And we run pipes through the ground and we bring that heat into the house, and then a heat pump actually amplifies that heat to a comfortable level. That's renewable because the earth stays warm. We're not gonna take all the heat out of it. Air source heat pumps are similar, but they take the heat out of the air. But it's, again, renewable because the air keeps renewing itself, the temperature and the, you know, even in 20 degrees, you can pull some heat out of the air. So it's renewable because we're not, number one, it's clean because we're not burning anything. It's all electric. And it's renewable because we keep getting the heat from either the ground or the air.
I have a heat pump. I have an older model. And I'm definitely thinking of either geothermal or air source heat pump. I know you prefer the geothermal. It may not be possible for some people. You know, give us the relative advantages and disadvantages of both.
Well, the most obvious disadvantage of geothermal is the cost of installing the loop system. Now, there are some moves afoot and already being done elsewhere in the country is what's called a district loop system. Now, just like you have a gas pipe that goes down the street and each of us, you know, takes in the gas, assuming we have gas, we would have a pipe going down the street that would have water that's, again, earth temperature. And we could bring that water into our house. And this way, we would just have a new unit that's a heat pump. And we wouldn't have to put in our own loop system. And we'd probably pay $5 or $10 for access to that, what's called a district loop. And therefore, you don't have the big expense of putting in the loop system.
$5 or $10 a month, you mean?
Yeah, that's what the people I know who've been doing this elsewhere say, that that's about right. Of course, you still have to pay for the electric to run the heat pump, but that would be access to this loop system. And some places will be sending heat into the loop and some will be taking it out based on their needs, like a store with all that refrigeration and freezer compartments. That's going to be dumping a lot of heat out into that loop. And of course, when it's 4 degrees here, we're going to be taking in a lot of it. But that's the whole beauty of a district system. And that's, again, fairly new, but that's probably the way we're going to get out to scale. So geothermal, that's the biggest thing, is that loop system. And if you can get someone else to pay for it, that's the way to do it. Now, air source heat pumps have a few disadvantages. First of all, they are less expensive because, again, no loop, but they exchange the heat with the air. Now, in the wintertime, it can be 20 degrees or, as we saw, even colder here recently, and there's less heat they can get out. So it means the heat pump inside has to work harder to get, say, that 20 degrees up to 100 to send around the house or building. The other disadvantage is because that air source heat pump is outside because it has to exchange heat with the air. It also is subject to having the coil freeze. And when the coil freezes, you don't have any heat. So what they do is every once in a while, they send some of your house heat back out to the loop to make sure it doesn't freeze. And with geothermal, your unit, your heat pump is inside. So there's no possibility of freezing unless you have zero heat in the house. And there's no, and you're always getting that 55 degrees coming in. So that's the one thing when it gets really cold. And as a result of sending heat back outside to keep that loop from freezing, you're using more electricity than you would with a geothermal heat pump.
Right. Although it's still far more efficient than gas or oil. Is that correct?
Yeah. The very best, the most efficient units you can get that are fossil fuel, like 97% efficient. There's 3% you lose. And that percent is based on how much heat you can get out of an electric resistance heater. Those are the heaters that you see that have the wires that heat up red. And that's considered 100% efficient. So even an electric resistance is more efficient than either gas or oil, but it all costs more. So that is the basis for this percentage. Now, air source heat pumps can be 2 to 3 times more efficient than that electric resistance, which is where you sometimes see 200 to 300% better. With a geothermal heat pump, it's probably 3 to 5, maybe even 3 to 6 times more efficient than that electric heat pump. And that's the standard, again, is that resistance heating that you'll see in a lot of all electric apartments when they thought they would have cheap electricity for due to Shoreham. There are places in like the Brookhaven area and elsewhere around there that are all electric. So for those all electric people, they will be saving a tremendous amount. Just imagine 2 to 3 times less or 3 to 5 times less. That's a big savings for them.
And even more so if you've got solar panels on the roof, that really helps.
Exactly. And that's what we have too.
Well, that's great news, especially about the district heating. But still, as you say, these are expensive. The district heating isn't happening yet. Tell us what you're doing on the legislative front. There is a renewable heat legislative package of bills. And I wonder if you could maybe take them one by one. First of all, there's a bill to ban fossil fuels in new construction. Tell us about that bill, where it's at.
Okay, first, one thing I want to say is greater efficiency means less cost. So what should be happening, greater efficiency means lower heating bills. So the first thing, the All Electric Building Act, I don't like to call it a gas ban because it sounds like no one's going to be able to have gas anymore. Like they're just going to shut it off and we're stuck. I like to say we like to use the term sunset. The sun is setting on the fossil fuel industry. All electric buildings are only for new buildings. And the All Electric Building Act provides for that building departments, those departments in whatever municipality you live in that issue permits to do buildings will, starting January 1st, 2024, will have to be all electric, which means they're going to need either a geothermal heat pump or an air source heat pump to heat. It will need, you know, induction stoves instead of gas stoves, dryers that are all electric, water heaters are all electric, and they actually have heat pump versions of both the dryer and the water heater. That's mostly what we use the fossil fuels. I think for people who have it for their grills, they're just going to have to get the bottled stuff for new people. Yeah. But again, I want to make a point, no one is losing gas. And that's why I don't like the term gas bill. It gets people scared. And that's not what it's about. And we don't want to scare people unnecessarily, right?
Right. Especially since the fossil fuel lobby is going to try to convince people that that's what it's all about. They're taking away your stove. I have an electric heat pump, a hybrid unit for my water heater. It works beautifully. I wasn't aware that you could get one for your dryer, so that's exciting too.
Yeah, my next dryer is going to be a heat pump dryer. They're not widely out there, but I know that they're available.
This is Sustainable Long Island. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. We're talking with Billy Roberti of the Renewable Heat Now campaign to reduce the use of fossil fuels for homes and businesses in New York State. Okay, so let's go on to the next one, which is super important because, as you point out, these are not cheap systems. The upfront costs, even if the overall cost may be lower, and for the life of the unit, the upfront cost is a lot. So the next bill is Fund Renewable Heating and Weatherization. Tell us about that and talk a little bit about weatherization, too, what that means.
Well, I think that's part of what we were calling the Green Affordable Housing Budget, to make affordable housing for disadvantaged communities all electric or electric ready. That would involve weatherization. That would be getting them set up to get heat pumps, because a heat pump takes a lot of amperage. So a lot of houses or buildings may have insufficient electric service to them to be able to do that. So the first step is to, you know, weatherize the building. And secondly, to make sure there's enough electric service. Like for us, when we did our gut rehab, we had 100 amp service and we increased it to 150 amps. And that may be a requirement for, and some places may have even lower service. So we need to get it up so that when it comes time to put in the heat pump, you don't have to step back and do that first. You want it to be, that's what I call electric ready, enough electric service to the house so that they can run these all electric appliances. And so that's, we were asking, the governor had put in a budget. She suggested what we thought was a fairly small amount. But what's incredibly important is that we include people from disadvantaged communities and people from environmental justice communities and people of lower or middle incomes. We cannot leave them behind. It's critical. So this, we were asking the governor to put in $1 billion annually to a green affordable housing budget to make affordable housing for those communities, all electric or electric ready. And that's, again, as I said, critical. What's going to happen as gas phases out? It's going to cost more because the infrastructure, the pipe they put in today, is going, they're going to depreciate that over 50 to 80 years. Now, we're not going to be using gas in 80 years, which means they're going to have to shorten that period, which means each gas customer is going to pay more. And generally, the last people to adopt a new technology are what we call the LMI communities, low and middle income. And we don't want that to happen. So it's really important that we get them up to speed so they can make the transition easily and affordably.
New building is one thing, but we have, as you pointed out, buildings in New York State, you know, are the greatest fossil fuel emitters, biggest part of the pie there. What's happening around renewable heat in terms of retrofitting?
Well, we're not promoting any bills right now to do with retrofitting existing buildings. What we have found in the past is when new buildings start new technologies, that it then flows to the retrofits, to the renovations, such as, you know, granite kitchens started off in new buildings. And now anyone who remodels their kitchen gets a granite countertop or something similar to that. Formica's out and a lot of other things are very passe. So if we start with new buildings where the cost is fairly equal to be doing it all electric versus traditionally or conventionally, that we find that those same contractors who are installing heat pumps in the new buildings will now know more about it. And when it comes to someone calling up and saying, my heating system has failed or is failing or we're having a problem, they can now present that to that homeowner or that building owner and saying, well, have you considered this? Because they've already had experience in the new building. So there's that trickle down or more like a flow down to rehabilitations and renovations. So I think that's going to be a natural process. And I think that new buildings is a way to start. And we do not want to start telling people they have to take their house apart and do it in particular ways. There's going to be a time when people want to do this. And I'd much rather have them want to do it than someone telling them they have to. You know, a carrot's almost always better than a stick.
But what about those people who do want to do it now, who have existing buildings? Is there anything in this renewable heat campaign to provide subsidies for people who want to install heat pumps, either ground source or air source?
Well, you know, we've had some solar incentives for well over 10 years in New York State. It was a tax credit and there was a sales tax exemption, but geothermal has not enjoyed this. And there's been two bills going around for like about 6 years in the Assembly and Senate that have gotten passed, that have gotten vetoed by the Governor Cuomo at the time because they were standalones. Now we have a clean heating and cooling division within NYSERDA. So we now have a holistic system of looking at this. And so we're really hoping this year we get the fossil-free heating tax credit. And we're hoping it will be refundable. And we're hoping that gets into the budget or that gets passed and the governor signs it this time. We have a new governor and there's a good chance of that. And a refundable tax credit means if, say, you have there's a cap of $5,000 on this. So supposing you have a tax bill in New York State with, say, $4,000 and you've got a $5,000 tax credit, it means the state writes you a check for $1,000. Not bad. That really helps people who don't have that money up front because they know they're going to be getting that much back. They can take out a short-term loan and pay it back as soon as they get that tax money back. And there's a federal sales tax exemption too. It's, of course, it's not refundable, but there is a federal one too. So we would like it to have a state. And we also want and this is strictly for geothermal because of that extra cost for the loop. We have a fossil fuel heating sales tax exemption, which is the same thing. It means that you wouldn't have to pay sales tax on the equipment they install. Right now you have to. I had to. And you don't have to do that for solar. And it seems that it's such a powerful technology that will get us reducing our greenhouse gases that we should be getting these incentives to people to go geothermal. And again, it's only for geothermal because there's such a cost differential between the air source heat pump and the geothermal heat pump.
Yeah, although air source are pretty expensive too.
Yeah, but when you consider that this is one unit that heats and cools, when we were doing renovation for our house, we were quoted about $25,000 to get an air conditioner and a gas furnace. And, you know, that's pretty much the price of a heat pump. So you can't look at it as strictly heating. It's also your cooling, and it's more efficient at cooling, both the air source and geothermal, than a standard air conditioner. And that's where the peak energy demand comes in the summer on that really hot day. So this is why LIPA has been so positive about geothermal heat pumps, because it reduces that peak demand, and that peak amount defines how much we pay every day, even though we're not peaking every day. We have to have that capacity. And if we can reduce the needs, the capacity needs of our grid, we're automatically costing less. And that's why LIPA loves geothermal heat pumps. They reduce the peak in summer way more than air source heat pumps, but air source heat pumps are also more efficient than the standard air conditioner.
In the couple of minutes that we have left, I'd like you to address something I don't think a lot of people really realize, and that is the health dangers of gas. You know, people love their gas stoves, and they talk about, you know, gas heat. And gas heat was supposed to be the, you know, the bridge fuel to the green economy. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. But tell us about the dangers, the health dangers. I mean, we all know the health dangers of, you know, of oil, you know, the particulate pollution. What about gas?
Well, you know, I had one of those coil electric stoves in the house, and I was so glad to bring in a gas stove, of course, because I'm not on the gas line, it's liquid propane. And it's so much better than those coils. I mean, but I didn't realize how polluting it was myself till I started reading these articles, because the gas, again, when you burn it, it doesn't burn as clean as they say it does. It gives off nitrogen oxides. It gives off carbon dioxide. And if you don't have enough oxygen, it gives off carbon monoxide. And even when the gas is not on, if you have a pilot light, obviously it's like the gas is on all the time. But even when you don't have the gas on with an electric ignition, it's still polluting to a point because there's always a certain amount of gas leakage in the lines. These molecules of gas are fairly small. I mean, just don't think about it. You think of a pipe can hold it, but it can't. There's always a little bit of leakage going on. And now, of course, I have to run the ventilator, which is to the outdoors, to get that out. And I don't like cooking with a lot of noise. But yeah, there are a lot of dangers to it. And anyone who has got asthma or any sort of respiratory problem, COPD, or even people who have long COVID or have lung damage from COVID, it's making it very bad for them. And you'll be surprised at how much cleaner the indoor air will be when you get rid of your gas appliances.
Yeah, that's a good warning. So what can listeners do to find out more about the Renewable Heat Coalition and what to do?
Well, right now we're focusing on getting the legislation passed. We're lobbying our state legislators. That's our big push now. And once this legislation is passed, then we're going to be reaching out to community organizations, anyone who wants us to come talk and explain to them what it's all about and show them there's a lot of, we were trying to compile numbers of all electric buildings that are being built or places where they use heat pumps. I mean, you don't know a place uses a heat pump. I just remembered another place on Long Island. There's a Tudor Time on 110, like Melville, Farmingdale area. That's geothermal. The Courtyard Marriott in Ronkonkoma is geothermal. A pharmaceutical company is geothermal. You don't know how many of your neighbors are geothermal. And so we're looking at it, it's really a large number, and even counting all over the state. And just with the ones we knew about, we came up with 39 places that already were either all electric or had been using air source or ground source heat pumps. Ground source heat pump is the same as geothermal. So it's a lot more widespread than you may know. You can't tell from the outside whether it's an air conditioner or it's a heat pump, an air source heat pump. They look the same. The difference is a switch that allows heat to go in the house or come out. So it may be a lot more widespread than anyone knows. So we want to let people know and let them know about the successes out there and the reduced heating costs and all the advantages. But that's something for us after this legislation passes, because we, you know, it doesn't help to really talk to the communities if it's not going to happen. We don't want to build up their hopes.
Well, that's great, Billy. And of course, people can get engaged in trying to get that legislation passed.
Oh, we would love more people. Let me tell you, we have a lot of good people, but we could use more. And it's good for neighbor to be talking to neighbor, and church people to be talking to each other, and other religious groups or other ethnic groups or other any sort of group that you're in, is to start talking about this. And anyone who's interested in joining us, they can go to the Renewable Heat Now site, which is renewableheatnow.org, and say, I want to be involved. And they will connect you up to some lobbying group. We have them all over the state, and we'd love to have more people join. It's so empowering when you feel you can go talk to your legislator and say, I think this is really good, and I think we need to do this, and this is why, and please vote for it. I mean, I never did lobbying before, but this is what Mothers Out Front did. Show up, make your ask, and then let them know that you're there and you care.
That's great. It's been terrific to talk with you, Billy Roberti of the Renewable Heat Now campaign. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Francesca. Had a wonderful time.
You've been listening to Sustainable Long Island. That was my conversation with Billy Roberti of the Renewable Heat Now campaign. More about the campaign can be found online at renewableheatnow.org. Sustainable Long Island is heard on the third Wednesday of each month at this time, and also on the second Saturday of each month at 9 a.m. Programs are archived at sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. Sustainable East End is produced by Tony Ernst and yours truly, Francesca Rhiannon.